lights of hope, peace, and joy burn bright. Today we light the candle of love. May we kindle God's light together as we journey on. Let us give thanks for God's gift of love made known to us through Christ Jesus. Help us prepare to receive him. In Christ, the light of God's love shines in our hearts, and we are given the strength to share our love in the world. Be not afraid. The light of God's love is at hand. Amen.
Let us confess our sin before God and in the presence of one another. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, through the love of God, we are forgiven and given the strength to forgive. Let us give thanks that in Jesus, Emmanuel, the God of love, is truly with us. Amen. Please join me in singing the hymn, "The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came," number 97 in your hymnal, number 97.
Good morning. Oh, one more time. Good morning. Amazing. Good morning and welcome to the Memorial Church, a space of grace in the center of Harvard Yard. I am the Reverend Alana Sullivan, Associate Minister in the Memorial Church. And on the behalf of the clergy and staff here, I extend a warm, warm welcome to you, who are gathered here to worship with us this morning on Christmas Eve's Eve. I think I have that right. So just a few exciting announcements this morning. First, I'm delighted to report that our university choir set a record-breaking collection for the carol service this year. They collected over $13,000 to go to Y2Y Harvard Square. Y2Y is a charity that is close at the heart of Memorial Church. It's a shelter for Cambridge's homeless youth that is completely run and operated by Harvard students since 2015. I cannot think of a more worthy cause to be the recipient of the carol's offering this year. Also, our church school, in conjunction with Harvard Men's Basketball and the Black Men's Forum, collected over 400 toys, which was the goal, so we surpassed our goal for the Phillips Brooks Association annual toy drive. And thanks to their hard work, more children throughout Boston will have a merrier Christmas. In addition, we are pleased to announce that for the first time, and I believe it's for the first time, that the University Choir's carol service is going to be aired on television on NBC-affiliated stations. On Christmas Day, throughout the country, there will be a special airing of last year's 108th carol service. So be sure to check your local listings wherever you're going to be spending the holiday. I believe in Boston it will be airing at 5 a.m. But I know that I will be up with my baby boy Henry, and we will be watching. And honestly, I can't think of a better way to kick off the holiday, his first Christmas, watching the carol service. So we are really excited about that. And tomorrow is the Christmas Eve service. Right here in the sanctuary, we will be holding a service for carols and communion and a Christmas message from our very own Professor Walton. And if you would like to sing in the volunteer choir under the direction of Ed Jones, please come to the church at 3:45, and the volunteer choir will be meeting in Appleton Chapel, which is right behind us. And lastly, this past semester, our church has been faithfully served by the Reverend Catherine Schofield. And tomorrow marks the last day that she will be leading worship services with us as our interim minister, although she will be back to preach on January 13th. Reverend Schofield has been a wonderful colleague and a caring pastor to many in this community over the past 6 months. And we are delighted to share that she will be going on to serve as the interim minister at Old South Church in Boston, beginning in January. That's wonderful news. Reverend Schofield, thank you. Thank you for the many ways that you have served and led this community, for the wisdom, the diligence, and the calming presence that you have shared with all of us. People of God, Christ said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." This peace is not of the world, but it is one that is deeply rooted in the love of God, neighbor, and self. A peace that is lived in action and in word. Let us begin our lives of peace here and now. May the peace of Christ be with you. Go and share that peace with one another.
this is the time in our worship service where we are able to honor God with the giving of our gifts. Listen, just to reiterate a couple of the announcements that Reverend Sullivan made this morning. All of these things are made possible by your generosity.
One step down. The candle, you almost have.
I tell y'all all the time, Alana always has my back. You see exactly what I'm talking about. But as she was saying, all that we're able to do, all that we're able to accomplish. You heard me say this year at the carol service, some of you may recall on Tuesday night, I said, you're a part of a live recording. You didn't know at the time because we weren't quite ready to make the announcement, but we were recording this year's service for next year for NBC. We were waiting on the deal to go through, and until we got confirmation, we weren't ready to make the announcement, but we received it this week, and it's as a result of your generosity to the university choir over years that we've been preparing for this. And this year, we will be on over 199 stations across the country, NBC affiliates. So as you heard Alana say, it's going to be 5 a.m. in Boston, so set your DVR. For those of you who won't be awake, and call others and tell them to set their DVR, their TiVo, and make sure they record it. The support that we give to organizations such as Youth to Youth Homeless Shelter, we're able to do that. Why? Because of your generosity.
No.
Yes! Absolutely, we are. You have to believe that. And so, we ask you, during this time, I know it's easy to look around and say, well, they don't need my money, they don't need my offering here at the Memorial Church of Harvard University. We do. And believe me when I say, you can check us, we're an open book. We are a good steward of your resources. Not only committed to being a space of grace at the center of Harvard Yard for students, for ministries, but also far beyond Harvard Yard to support those who are doing the heavy lifting in the greater Boston area for those people. People just like you and me who are trapped in the shadows of life. God's blessed us so that we could be a blessing to others. So our ushers are going to make their way down the aisles. Listen, you'll see an envelope in front of you. Take one of those envelopes, fill it out. Put your name, give us your information, your email address, your phone number, mailing address, so that we can keep in touch with you. We can let you know what's going on here at the life of the Memorial Church. And if it's your first time with us today, listen, don't worry about putting anything inside the envelope. Just take the envelope and put it inside the plate. The fact that you're here today, we consider that a gift. But if it's not your first time with us, remember the Memorial Church in your giving as 2018 comes to a close. With all the hustle and bustle of the holiday season and all the last-minute gifts, we ask that you would please leave a gift in the collection plate. We thank God for all of you.
Thank you. seated. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, beginning at the 39th verse. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to see me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt with joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Here ends the lesson.
Please stand as you are able to join in singing "Savior of the Nations Come," hymn number 102. Seated. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We praise you, gracious God, for the glad tidings of peace and the good news of salvation born in our midst. Visit our world with your hope. Where mystery and wonder have grown old and stale, bring brightness of your inbreaking spirit. Where hatred and war have wounded your world, bring the healing balm of compassion. Where suffering and oppression have overpowered justice, break into places of despair with your determined life. Where people are living in grief and loneliness, hold their hands within your hands and bring your love near to their tears. Because you have come, Christ Jesus, we believe there is no place which is far from the love of God. No person who is less than any other. No situation which is not subject to your grace and possibility. Hear our prayers at this time for those who live in fear of violence, on the battlefield, on the streets, in their homes, and for those who do not have enough to eat or a safe and clean place to live. We pray for those many who are displaced, both within and beyond their home countries, especially those who at Christmas await the birth of a child in places strange to them and without the support of family around them. Grant continuing resolve and skills to agencies who combat want and policymakers who seek solutions. Give us the courage of your holy daughter, Mary. Encourage us to rise above the status quo and beyond that which is comfortable, and to confront the future with thanks and praise. Then many things come to us in life that exceed expectation and change things forever. Amen. Please join me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We've already heard the scripture lesson read so eloquently by Brother Easley and Sister Val. Just want to emphasize the second half. Mary
cries out, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in the God, my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. God's mercy is for those who fear God. From generation to generation, he's shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down those who think themselves powerful and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to God's descendants forever and ever." An attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude.
Does anybody here remember the Flintstones? Some of you may recall that there was a spinoff show, 1971 and 72. I used to watch it when I was a kid in the 80s. It was the Teenage Pebbles and Bam Bam show. I used to watch this growing up, and there was one character that I'll never forget. His name was Bad Luck Schleprock. Bad Luck Schleprock was always in a dump. He wore all gray. A storm cloud followed him everywhere. Bad things were always happening to Bad Luck Schleprock, and bad things always happened when Bad Luck Schleprock was around. His signature phrase was, "Wowzy, wowzy, woo woo." Have you ever known anybody like this? I'm talking about somebody who's negative all the time. If they're conscious, they're complaining. If they're awake, they're whining. Wowzy, wowzy, woo-woo. If you don't know anybody like this, you better nod your head anyway, so somebody might think it's you. A dark cloud is always hovering over their head. If you ask, "How are things going today?" they'll proceed with a list of grievances. "They're driving me crazy at home. Folk just getting on my nerves at my job. My money is funny. My change is strange. It's too cold outside today. Lord, it's too hot outside today. I'm sick. And I'm tired. And I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Wowzy, wowzy, woo woo." You know, people can be like that. This is true of people, and in my world, this can also be true of preachers. I remember some of the congregational prayers down south of my youth, Brother Brown. I can recall the preacher would come to the microphone and read off a litany of ailments and illnesses to the Lord. The prayers went something like this: "Lord, it's once again that we come before your throne as humbly as we know how. You woke me up this morning when the walls to my room could have been the walls to my grave. My covers could have been my winding sheet. My mattress could have been my cooling board. We lift up Ella May and her diabetes to you, Lord. Mother Jones has bunions today. We pray for the pastor's gout.
and be a preparation H for Elder Lucy's inflammation, O God. But we want to thank you while we're toiling through the storm and the rain and our trials and tribulation. We're limping from arthritis, but we're going to make it to see you over yonder, O God. Thank you for being good. Amen. And by the time you leave church, you feel like you need to go to a doctor. Wowzy, wowzy, woo-woo. My brothers and sisters, many of us could learn a lesson from Mary, the mother of Jesus, this morning. This was a woman who had much to lament. She was from an impoverished village in Nazareth. She was pregnant under what neighbors would have considered questionable circumstances. She lived on the underside of the Roman Empire, and from the view of most, she was delivering a child at the wrong time, in the wrong family, in the wrong zip code. Mary had reason to gripe and groan. Mary had reason to lament her personal conditions and her social circumstance, but rather than focus on all that was wrong, Mary shifted her interpretive lens. Mary believed that she was pregnant with possibility. And that's why Mary cried out to the Lord, "My soul magnifies you, and my spirit rejoices in the God of my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. And for now, surely folk will call me blessed. For God has done great things for me." We know her situation was not ideal. We know that she didn't have the best of circumstances. We know that her situation was anything but perfect. But this is why I believe that Mary has something to teach us about gratitude this morning. Having an attitude of gratitude. For gratitude is not a mere empty appreciation, or it's not a mere rote thank you. I'm talking about the capacity to revel in all of the opportunities and blessings that God has gifted to us in this particular moment. Where we look around and we're able to say, things may not be what I want to be, but I thank God that things are what they are. And when I look around and I see all of the blessings in my life, I have to say, if for only in this moment, glory be to God, for God has done great things. That's an attitude of gratitude. Scientists and researchers know the many positive feelings that emerge from sincere gratitude. For when we are thankful for what we have, it's amazing how we can begin to look at the things that we don't have so differently. When we can think about the gifts of life that are surround us, the showers of blessings that cover us, we can, consider differently. Negative circumstances that would otherwise break our hearts and break our spirits. It's an attitude of gratitude. Oh, I remember I'm sitting here looking at Brother Preston and Sister Connie Williams this morning. I remember a few years ago, I got a call just a couple of years ago that Sister Williams, during the winter, had slipped on the ice and fall and had broken her hip. I remember when I received that call, Brother Preston, my assistant Elizabeth could tell you. First thing I did was I went in my office and I closed the door and I started to cry. Because all I could think about were the negative implications and possible negative outcomes of someone in their 80s breaking their hip. But I called Sister Williams in the hospital. You remember this? I called you in the hospital and I said, "Sister Williams, we need you to get up because there's a little boy, a little grandson named Noah. And before I could get that out of my mouth, she said, "Oh, Noah's here with me right now. Noah's here in the hospital, and Noah has been keeping me company. He's here coloring right now. And oh yeah, I'm gonna get up because I got to play with Noah. I've been waiting on this grandson for too long. And I'm just so thankful to have him here with me." Do you remember that, Sister Williams? And I remember in that moment, I felt something in my spirit saying, "I got a feeling that everything is gonna be all right." It's this kind of attitude of gratitude that can lift our spirits, it can heal our bodies, it can change our orientation toward the world when we're not thinking about what's wrong, but we're thinking about what's around us that's right. Compassion, joy, and hope all spring from the wells of gratitude. And this is why I would argue, looking at Sister Mary in the text, that grace and gratitude go hand in hand with one another. For when you and I are truly grateful for the blessings of our life, no matter how small, we'll be more inclined to be a blessing to somebody else. Because just as grace and gratitude go hand in hand, gratitude and greed cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Oh, woe to the man. Woe to the man who has benefited from the goodness and grace of others. Woe to the person. Somebody taught you when you were unteachable, loved you when you were unlovable, encouraged you when you were incorrigible. Yet, now you believe yourself to be a self-made man who owes the world nothing. Woe to that man. Woe to the government. Woe to a government who benefits from and exploits the resources of other nations for its own quote-unquote prosperity. Yet that government feels the need to erect walls of isolation and reject global interdependence. Woe! And woe to the nation who looks upon the migrant family with a child and declares to that family, "There's no room at the inn for you." Wowzy, wowzy, woo-woo. Mary, on the other hand, Mary realized something. Mary realized that she could not carry hope in her womb while having resentment in her heart. Mary could not give birth to light while walking in darkness. Just as a plant wilts in darkness, yet stretches and grows toward the sun, our hearts and our health, brothers and sisters, shrivel when shrouded in negativity. But our hearts expand when we count our blessings. This is why Mary declares that the baby she will deliver will be the baby that will deliver the world. For God didn't just bless me for my own sake. My blessing will be a blessing for the entire world. Why? Because gratitude, grace, and goodness all are inextricably bound up together. As we welcome the Christ child this Christmas season, I want you to join me in reflecting on all the blessings that God has given us. I want you to take your mind off your problems and put your mind on your problem solver. Embrace an attitude of gratitude. Everybody in this place, close your eyes right now. Think about what you have. Consider how God's grace has shown up. Heartbreak, yes. Despair, yes. But now think about all the many blessings that surround you each and every day. Now ask yourself this question. What am I going to do with it?
Please stand as you are able to join in singing, "Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming," hymn number 128, number 128.
As 2018 comes to an end, may we reflect on and embrace the many blessings that the year has bequeathed to us. Yes, evil may seem ubiquitous. It may seem that suffering is all around. But God has told us what to do, and that is to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with an attitude of gratitude. We may not finish the work, but it's our responsibility
to live into the work with compassion, grace, and love while we still have breath in our bodies. For God is not through blessing you. May the church say together, amen. Amen. Amen.